You're listening to SBS News.
The government's secure jobs, better pay bill was always going to pass the House of Representatives, but when it did just that, it was still a cause for celebration. Employment and Workplace Relations Minister Tony Burke addressed childcare workers outside the parliament following the bill's passage.
So much of this started with yourselves, and you know, you had been left behind in bargaining, and you provided the example, particularly in Victoria, of saying that feminised industries can still, if they work together, find ways to get better pay and lift themselves up above the
opposition. The opposition remains staunchly against the legislation. The Coalition's Paul Fletcher told the Parliament the bill risked returning Australia to the 1970s with widespread union strikes and an unproductive economy.
This is a very bad bill, taking the Australian economy and our society and our community backwards. Extraordinarily, you would have thought it was hard to achieve, but extraordinarily, the amendments make a bad situation worse, and the opposition will be opposing the government's amendments as we oppose the bill.
Crossbenchers tried to move amendments on one of the bill's most contentious aspects, multi-employer bargaining, specifically the option for small businesses of 15 workers or less to opt out if employees can reach agreement with their employer. Independents, including Sydney MP Zali Steggall, are arguing the definition of a small business with 15 staff is too narrow.
The bill currently exempts businesses with fewer than 15 employees from being forced into single-interest employer. That figure is ridiculous. Many businesses with up to 50 employees would be unable to compete with large businesses who could afford to absorb the extra cost, or they will be run to the wall. Everyone in this place goes to their community saying they support small business, but yet here we are with legislation that will make it incredibly difficult for small business owners.
Fellow independent Di Lee agrees.
As it currently stands, small business is defined as having 15 employees, including casuals, under the Fair Work Act. That means if my local Vietnamese pho restaurant employs 16 people, they could be forced to enter multi-employer bargaining situations when they lack the time, resources and funds to do so. We should resolve this issue by amending the definition of a small business.
And Di Lee says any changes to the law need better consultation with the small business community.
I don't need to remind the people in this house that small business is the backbone of the Australian economy. My community was built on the shoulders of migrants and refugees who came to this country seeking better opportunities for themselves and their families. We have more than 130 nationalities, with many of these people running some type of businesses, from a banh mi bakery, a pho or noodle restaurant, or a pearl milk tea store. They're hard-working small business owners.
But Labor was not budging, and the bill ultimately passed 80 votes to 56. The legislation will now go to the upper house, where ACT Independent Senator David Pocock will be a key swing voter. Independents are hopeful the government will then be forced to negotiate. Tony Burke has acknowledged he may have to compromise.
I'm realistic. I know that we have to negotiate with the Senate, but I am doing everything I can to get this bill through with as many protections for workers as I possibly can.
Having hinted at more concessions, the government is pushing ahead with its plan to legislate by Christmas. But it won't be as easy as today. Looking more likely to pass this year is the bill to establish an anti-corruption watchdog. A parliamentary inquiry on a National Anti-Corruption Commission has delivered a unanimous report. Attorney General Mark Dreyfus.
I'm delighted that the report is a unanimous report because it's the best possible basis for going forward in this Parliament with this really important piece of legislation. It's been a long time coming. The reason why it's the best possible basis for going forward is that it gives confidence to the Australian people when they see a unanimous report of a committee made up of members of both houses with government, opposition and crossbench members unanimously commending the report to the Parliament for passage.
The committee has made some recommendations on the body's ability to hold public hearings only in exceptional circumstances, but it did not recommend that clause be scrapped. Independent MP Helen Haynes says she wants that changed.
I will definitely be drafting an amendment to remove exceptional circumstances from the public hearings test. I believe that the exceptional circumstances clause does not need to be there. I think there were several witnesses, in fact, who indicated that if it had to stay, it needed to be defined. I will be drafting amendments around that particular aspect of the bill.
Green Senator David Shoebridge says he believes the case for public hearings is overwhelming.
We heard from former judges, from current and former ICAC commissioners, from some of the most senior academics and transparency experts in the country, and they all said the exceptional circumstances test should be removed. And we should be allowing more public hearings for the very obvious reason that sunlight is a bloody good disinfectant when it comes to corruption.
Claire Slattery, SBS News.